Oh, it's almost the weekend, baby. One more hour to go. Final hour of power. Don't steal that from me. On a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital and beyond. In case you missed our dueling Super Six Packs. That's right. Again, the most innovative, never before heard segment in sports talk radio history. Six games against the NFL spread. Six NFL teams ranked. We did it all. Kansas City, Minnesota number two, Seattle number three, Buffalo number four, Pittsburgh number five, and the Washington Commanders at number six. That might be a little bit of a homer pick because you people all think I hate the Commanders. I don't hate the Commanders. Never been true. Never will be true. Matt, by the way, I just sent you a potential candidate for the end of the show. And then we pick six games against the spread, which I know you all have come to count on after I get fed the information from the sharks off the coast of Cambodia. And then we swim upstream and go to Belarus and we get more information there. And then we shape our picks. The Washington Commanders minus the 3.5 over the Cleveland Browns is a pick that I don't love, but I'm going to go with because I think it'll be a four-point game. I don't know why, but I've been stuck on 24-20 all week. So give me the Commanders minus the 3.5, Vikings minus the 2.5 over the Jets in London. Cheerio. Texans minus the 1 over Buffalo. Buffalo with half their team missing. Seattle minus the 7 over the Giants at home without Malik Nabers. He's already been ruled out. Pittsburgh minus 2.5 Sunday night against Dallas at home. No DeMarcus Lawrence. Probably no Micah Parsons. And the Jacksonville Jaguars minus the 3 at home to get their first win of the year against the Colts, who still have Anthony Richardson up in the air and have ruled out Jonathan Taylor for this Sunday's game. So there you have it. All right, let's do this. Before we get to Paulie, I wanted to bring this up. Maurice Jones-Drew, you guys probably remember him, right? He is an NFL analyst for NFL Media, former NFL running back, and, you know, I think he does a pretty good job. You know, especially when it comes to running backs, but I guess we could all have differences of opinion, right? It's fine. Just because you played the game and played the game at a reasonably high level, you don't always see eye to eye with someone, or maybe I see something differently that he doesn't see. It's impossible for him to see all the different running backs, what have you. Now, NFL.com makes it very clear. His rankings are based on this season, and he comes up with his top 15 running backs. And number one, no surprise, is Derrick Henry. Number two, a little bit of a surprise just because, well, he's a backup, but he's been a starter all year, Jordan Mason of the San Francisco 49ers. Only six catches for Mason, but has done a very nice job. Number three, Saquon Barkley. Again, I think Saquon deserves to be an MVP consideration. You know, I have him right there. Top five, top six. I think especially without the help of the wide receivers and with everything else going on and the lack of defense, you know, I think Saquon's been awesome for the Philadelphia Eagles. He single-handedly got them back in that game last week against Tampa. Alvin Kamara is number four. Of course, he had the big day against Dallas a couple of weeks ago. Jonathan Taylor, we just talked about, for Indianapolis, scratched already. He's out this Sunday. He's averaging 4.8 yards per carry. So he is out. He is the number five quarterback on this list. James Cook of the Buffalo Bills, averaging 4.5 a pop. Number six, Jahmyr Gibbs. We know how good he's been in that tag team with David Montgomery for the Detroit Lions. And obviously a pretty good receiver as well. He's averaging 5.3 a carry. He is number seven. J.K. Dobbins, in case you haven't been paying attention to Harbaugh, in Los Angeles, even though they have two losses in a row, 6.1 a carry on 56 attempts over four games for J.K. Dobbins of the Chargers. Bijan Robinson, now he played a fifth game last night, did not run the ball very well. They were pure passing team. He is a good receiver, but not good enough, in my opinion, so far, to be number nine. Aaron Jones, he went back to Green Bay last week, got a dub, had a nice moment on the field afterwards. He is ranked number 10. We'll see him Sunday against the Jets defense in London. I think Aaron Jones should be a little bit higher. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. So you say, well, Chris, where the hell is Brian Robinson? The answer to that is number 11. Brian Robinson is averaging 4.7 per carry, 4 games, 66 attempts. If you do the math, you say that's 16 and a half attempts per game. 307 rushing yards. So again, over 4 games, it's not 100 yards per game, but not by any stretch. It's what? Roughly 78 yards a game? Again, that's probably what hurts him, is that there have been some short games and sometimes, quite honestly, where there's been no game and where he's gotten blown up a little bit. But Brian Robinson also has contributed. Not only 3 rushing touchdowns and a 4.7 per carry, 8 catches, 68 receiving yards, hasn't lost a fumble yet. I think he did have 1 fumble, if memory serves. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But Brian Robinson at number 11 for a juggernaut offense, I think is a little bit too low. I think he should probably be ahead of Bijan Robinson. It's hard to put him against and ahead of J.K. Dobbins. I would say just because he's a rotational player, Jahmyr Gibbs is not asked to do what Brian Robinson is asked to do. But, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is awesome, right? So I don't know if I could put him there. Probably the most reasonable comparison would be a guy like James Cook. But Cook has better receiving numbers, not much, but he does have better receiving numbers and he does have a receiving touchdown. But he's got a lower running per yard. I mean, you know, you want to put James Cook a little bit lower, say put Brian Robinson over him, certainly. I can't put him ahead of Saquon Barkley. Jonathan Taylor is an interesting one, right? Because he's got very similar numbers to Jonathan Taylor. And already Jonathan Taylor, again, has been ruled out. So to me, I would put Brian Robinson, who's put 11th in this, I'd definitely put him in my top 10. I could see a reasonable argument to put him at, let's just call it number 9, instead of number 11, instead of on the outside looking in. And again, it means nothing. It's just Maurice Jones-Drew doing a column, doing analysis, creating content, creating fodder, creating an argument, creating a segment. I'm sure they did it on NFL, whatever it is. And that's fine. We all need it. We all need the content. I think Brian Robinson is a little bit too low on this list. Now, we'll see what happens this Sunday. I mean, we'll see if he can even make it through the game. And I hope, obviously, he doesn't go out and do something that prevents him from being a contributing factor for 2 or 3 weeks after that, or maybe even more. I hope. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I think, based on what they indicated, he'll play. Could something change between now and then? Absolutely. Could he be knocked out early in the game on Sunday? Absolutely, if he plays at all. Hopefully, Brian Robinson is able to contribute, 80, 85 yards, somewhere in that range. By the way, real quickly, the running backs behind him, Josh Jacobs of the Packers at number 12. David Montgomery, who we talked about, split role with Jahmyr Gibbs. Chuba Hubbard at 14 for the Carolina Panthers, which is interesting. Again, pretty decent receiver, too. Got 13 catches and averaging almost 5.5 a yard. And James Conner, who everybody screamed at the top of the mountaintop about how he carved up the Commanders. And the only reason why James Conner wasn't even more effective is because, as I was told, the offensive coordinator went away from the run and all that stuff. Again, it was a close game. He didn't go away from the run. He was just trying to attack a different way. That's it. I mean, should they have run more? Sure. They probably should have. All right, let's get to Pauly real quickly here before we go any further and get into some more stuff before we round up the show. What's up, Pauly? How are you?
Hell to the W, man.
What's going on, Pauly?
Hey, Chris, you finished?
Yeah, it's my show, Pauly. Yes, I'm done.
You sure?
Yeah.
Boy, it takes you forever to get to a point.
Pauly, you don't like the segments?
The whole point is...
Pauly, you don't like the content?
Brian Robinson is too low. Got it.
That's it. Pauly, you wouldn't be able to do a 3-hour show every day. I don't know how you do that show that starts at 2:38 in the morning.
Hey, bro, it starts at 2:30 and ends at 6, right on time for the morning show. We good. You know what I'm saying? High ratings at that, man. 2:30 in the morning, the whole world.
Yeah, you got three people listening. Good for you.
No, I had the whole world. You even watching. You texting me. Hey, make sure you call in.
Yeah.
You know I need the ratings.
Yeah.
you in the big gravy.
Yeah. The big gravy.
Hey, look, man. No, I'm going to share a moment with you right now, man. Where we going to go, baseball or football first? Which one you want to do?
What do you want to do? Just get it. Just get to it.
All right, let's go baseball first, man. Look, man, I was born Park Chester General Hospital in the Bronx. You know, so my birthright makes me a Yankee fan. You know what I mean? I remember learning how to play baseball on the top of my father's building on the blacktop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And could see Yankees.
Little stoop ball?
But when I moved down here to the 757 as a young kid, and Tidewater Ties was a AAA affiliate
mm-hmm.
of the Mets.
Yep.
You know, and I fell in love with the Mets, bro. You know, the Coke boys, Doc and Daryl, mm-hmm. Keith Hernandez, Wally Backman, Rafael Santana, Ray Knight, Gary Carter, Hojo, Mookie Wilson. Man, those was my teams, man. You know what I mean? So this past week, and with the Mets been doing this past week, man, it definitely took me back to my youth. And so I know how when you was talking about standing in Shea Stadium, bro, I was feeling everything you were saying.
Attaboy. That's
the feeling I was definitely feeling all that. Feeling what you were saying, man. I remember watching that World Series game, you know, with my mother, because my mother's a big baseball fan, too. You know, that slow roll up first baseline through Buckner's legs, and we jumping up and down in the living room, you know what I mean? So that feeling, it ain't nothing like playoff baseball, you know what I mean? Especially, you know, for the home team. You're right. You lean on every pitch, mm-hmm. man. Every pitch means something. Every run means something. Just ask the Baltimore Orioles.
Well, they don't score any runs, so they wouldn't be able to answer that, Pauly.
That's my point.
Right.
You know, the opposing team got one run,
yeah.
and that was the only run. But that's what I'm saying. Every hit, every pitch, every run means
right.
something.
No, I hear you.
In baseball.
You're so right.
Just hearing you open your show with that, man, I had goosebumps because that just took me back. To my time with, you know, growing up in the Mets teams, man. Those were my boys right there, man. The 86 Mets. I love them.
Trust me, I was a very impressionable 12-year-old at that point. I guess I was 13.
Yeah. And I don't think I was like 11 or 12 myself. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, me and you have that in common. So I'm glad to share that
part right.
with you, brother. You know what I mean?
Commanders, man. That.
Commanders, real quick, key to the games for me is defense, just like I've been saying for the past 3 weeks, just get better a little bit at a time. It don't have to happen. It won't have to be 85 Bears all in one game. Just get better a little bit at a time. And force Watson to make mistakes. Don't count on him just making mistakes. We got to force him to make some mistakes. And offense, let's keep the game plan of setting up the pass with the run. You know what I mean? We keep that running game going good. You know, and now seeing all of a sudden we got the Pony Express back there, three-headed monster. You know what I mean? Even if Robinson is not 100%, you know, my man Manico shows he's a capable backup, and we're getting Austin Eckler back. So
that's huge.
Leaning on that run game, man. And
that's
I take
huge.
It off, man. Hey. Let's go Mets, man. Hail to the W.
I appreciate you, Pauly. That's a good story, and I didn't know that about Pauly. How about that? So you learn things as you go along. Yeah, I mean, it brought back a lot of good memories for sure last night. It was just a hell of a baseball game. All right, I just got word our guy Ben Standick is going to join us for a couple of minutes on the other side. So why don't we take a quick timeout, and then we'll check in with Ben as he's on his way back from Command Land in Ashburn, where he got to spend time with the team today, as always. So we'll get his thoughts in just a couple of minutes right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, right back with you on a Friday afternoon. Take it up till 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman at that point on a feel-good football Friday. That's right. Off of an excellent Thursday night between the Mets Brewers and the Thursday night game. Old Kirko going bonkers. Certainly the Buccaneers defense helping that out. We'll see if Jaden Daniels can keep it up and if the Commanders can come anywhere close to averaging 40 points or keeping that average of 40 points that they established on that little two-game road swing. And a guy who was on that road swing and was at Command Land today in Ashburn and does it all for The Athletic and occasionally with us here on Odyssey DC. You hear him with Coach Sheehan every Monday and Friday at noon is Ben Standick. Hello, Mr. Standick. How are you?
Chris, I am doing great. I was just driving home and happy to be a part of the big show.
Well, I don't know if it's a big show. I don't know anything about that, but I appreciate you, my friend. So I guess, you know, obviously you have a sense of being around them. You can't tell everything. I know access is limited and what have you. But my big, I guess, worry, question, whatever, a couple of things. Do you think they're too high coming off this two-game road trip in which they're getting all the accolades and all the flowers?
Yeah, it's always a tricky thing, right? Because, you know, if you bring it up as a topic, they'll say, hey, no, we're focused on the next game. I don't even know what's going on after Cleveland. You know, we're just focusing on this. And, you know, if you listen to Dan Quinn, honestly, if you listen to Jaden Daniels, Bobby Wagner, Quan Martin, I talked a little about this today. I buy that they believe it, but, you know, we're all humans. It would be reasonable to imagine that, you know, some of that's creeping in. Plus, now they're going home, right? This is the first home game since week two. You know, I'm sure they're going to be hyped, as the fans will be as well. So I think they're in good shape with that, but, you know, it's not like we haven't seen this happen over and over again through the years of sports, that teams get a little high on their own supply and come out a little flat or what have you. But,
right.
You know, I think they are in a good space on that front, but we'll obviously see on Sunday.
It'll be interesting because, yeah, and you're right. I mean, you know how they're going to answer it pregame, but if they lose on Sunday, you might get some of that, well, you know, we didn't have a great week of practice. Oh, you know, maybe we're looking a little bit too far ahead. You didn't hear this. I don't know if you went back and saw it, but because you were in Cincinnati covering the game for The Athletic. But Terry told Van Pelt on ESPN right after the game on the field, hey, man, we didn't have a very good week of practice leading into the Giants game, which they barely won. But we had a really good week of practice heading into Cincinnati. I don't care so much about maybe getting too high, but is there any sense, any way to sense? Did Dan, you know, Dan's usually pretty honest and open. Any way to sense that if he has been happy with their effort and their crispness, any way to determine that?
I didn't catch any, like, subtle or overt cues from him on that front. You know, they've been pushing, you know, this sort of do the right thing on, you know, when it comes to prepping and playing forever. And obviously this is a lot of, you know, it can sound like hairy high school stuff or coach speak or whatever, but this really has been the mantra for them almost more than anything else. And listening to the players throughout the summer and early part of the season, you know, I believe that they are buying in, but, you know, it is obviously a different world with them being 3-1 and getting talked about in positive ways that we haven't heard about in these parts for years. So right. I don't have that sense right now. But, you know, I guess the thing is also, you know, the Jaden Daniels dynamic here, you know, he's 23, he's a rookie. He's obviously not being looked at by, you know, veterans in that room as any kind of a leader. But the quarterback is always a big-time tone setter, and there is nobody who is more chill or you know, or focused as he is. He doesn't ever seem to get high or low on any of these things, including, you know, he was just named Rookie of the Month. He's been an offensive player, NFC Offensive Player of the Week. The accolades keep coming in, all that. He seems pretty level about it, and I think, again, even though he's a rookie, quarterbacks, you know, are big-time tone setters, so I think that's got to help. And
no doubt.
This is also where guys like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz come into play. That's why you brought them in as much for their veteran leadership as their exploits on the field. And those guys are certainly saying the right things about, you know, staying focused.
Ben Standing with us of The Athletic. Make sure you listen to him on his podcast. Standing, what is it called now? The Last Man Standing podcast? Is that right?
It is. I don't know if it was on purpose, but like the fact that you guys played me in with the Elton John Still Standing, that's going to be the next, whenever I do another podcast, that'll be the next one.
Whenever you change the name another time, kind of like the team that you cover changes their name, right. And hopefully that's not coming any time soon. Yeah, subscribe to the Last Man Standing podcast. It used to be Standing Room Only, so that's why we're obviously teasing. Read Ben in The Athletic. Of course, you can listen to him with Coach Sheehan Monday and Friday at noon right here on the Team 980. So in terms of this matchup, obviously Jaden is huge. Noah Brown is out. Brian Robinson sounds like a game time decision, but the arrow pointing up. Eckler back against the Browns defense. Like, people are, I know people know that the Browns defense is good, but I don't know if they quite know. You know, like, they haven't allowed more than 20 points in three games, right? I know they got lit up a little bit by the Cowboys, but this is going to be tough. Would you say 24 is the magic number, and how would you say they're going to have to attack?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Like, you know, for all the feel good right now with this team, I think these next two games against the Browns and Ravens will really tell us a lot about the offense and the team as a whole, because the Ravens and Browns are legit defenses. I mean, Myles Garrett is arguably the number one defender in the whole league, and that's what the Washington offensive line is going to face this week. They're going to have to get, you know, really slow him down, or he can be, you know, that type of one-man wrecking crew. I think this is where the Brian Robinson piece is really key. You know, I know that people are aware that he's having a good year, but, you know, he really gives them such an element, the toughness element. He's getting good yards constantly on first down. You know, and when you have that kind of balanced attack, it makes life so much easier for the young quarterback, for the offensive line, et cetera. You take him out, and even though Austin Eckler looked good before the injury and Jeremy McNichols had a somewhat surprisingly effective performance last week, it's not the same deal as having Robinson in there. So I think you really need to have him there to, again, to give them that balanced attack, keep Cleveland's pass rush, you know, guessing a bit. They've also got some pretty good corners out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, as and also as simple as it is, or, you know, obvious, you know, they got to, you know, win the turnover battle. Like,
yeah.
One of the things that's happened here is Jaden Daniels, other than the one interception last week, has, you know, been turnover free, and that's so huge in general, especially for an offense. I know they've been scoring at a ridiculously efficient rate, but they still don't have, in my view, you know, explosive playmakers across the board. They've been very methodical and effective, but you start getting behind, and, you know, let's see what happens. But, you know, they've got to avoid the turnovers, and last week they were really good on third down and held Arizona in check. They still are last in the league in third down defensive conversions, so they've got to tighten up there. Fortunately, Cleveland's offense has been pretty lousy this year, so a good opportunity to keep that momentum they had defensively last week.
But you know what, Ben? Like, while I've been a champion of at least being optimistic about the defense even before last week, I thought in Cincinnati, you know, they got off the field a couple of times in the first half, what have you. Like, this, not only is this the type of offense that you can get healthy on and create some of those takeaways because they only have two of those, but it's also the type of offense, and I keep struggling with this in my mind, right? Like, I was watching a bunch of the Browns game back against the Vegas Raiders, and it's all short stuff. It's all stuff, you know, swings, screens, what have you. But they still have some guys that can take the top off. And Deshaun looks like, I mean, clearly he's not the same, but he still can hurt you with his legs, I think. And it still seems like he's got some pretty good zip. If they can protect him, and that's been an issue, if they can protect him, I think this is a Browns offense that can hurt them a little bit, and I can't get past that feeling.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I'll come back to the Browns in a second, but, you know, Washington's defense did a pretty good job last week, but I am still rather skeptical that this is a championship-level, playoff-level defense from what we've seen. I think the cornerback situation, you know, we'll give them credit. I think Kyler Murray was holding onto the ball a bit last week because he wasn't finding a lot of guys open. At the same time, number one receivers have been crushing this defense all year. You know, Mike Evans, Malik Nabers, Jamar Chase, Marvin Harrison Jr. all scored touchdowns, at least one. A couple of them had two and 100-yard games to boot. And you've got Amari Cooper here with the Browns. I'd be stunned if he doesn't have a good game. And, yeah, I think this is the huge question. You know, it's an offense that Washington's defense could take advantage of and continue to build a case that they are a viable partner with the offense. But on the other hand, if you tell me they're going to get smoked even by a team that hasn't scored 20 points in a game yet, I wouldn't sit here and go, well, that's insane. So, you know, if the pass rush last week was very effective. They doubled the number of sacks on the year. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the secondary was better. Joe Witt Jr. has talked about guys like Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner who are providing that aggression that he is looking for. So there are pieces there, but I just still worry that, you know, the lack of consistent pass rush and the corner play is just going to make them, you know, for certain offenses, a bit of a sitting duck until proven otherwise. And this doesn't seem like one of those teams, but, you know, that's why, you know, the Cleveland's looking at it the same way. Hey, we got to break out of our slump, and we've got to get going. What better team to do it against than a one that ranks 30th in DVOA, last in three-point opponent conversions, the third down conversions, et cetera. So it's arguably not a big test, and simultaneously, if they're going to show their real defense, then this is one where they need to step up.
An old friend, Dustin Hopkins, makes his return to Northwest Stadium. I almost called it FedEx.
Both kickers have revenge games.
No, it's true. Very, very true. My friend, I appreciate you. I got to run because we're way past the bottom of the hour, and I got to, you know how this radio clock thing works. We got to actually pay some bills around here. But I appreciate you. Look forward to chatting it up with you in person on Sunday at Northwest Stadium. Maybe we'll have a meal or two as we get ready to watch a little Sunday afternoon football.
All right, I appreciate it, man. Have a good one. I'll see you Sunday.
That is my guy, Ben Standing of The Athletic. And again, make sure you check out the Last Man Standing podcast, available now to subscribe. Ben does an excellent, excellent job. All right, coming up, again, final trending alert and, as well, cleanup on aisle three. Yeah, we'll take out the trash with a little look at the baseball playoffs and maybe a college football thing or two on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so you just heard from Ben Standing, who is with the team in Ashburn today as the Commanders get ready for the Cleveland Browns. 1 o'clock, our pregame coverage begins at 9, extends all the way on your way home out of Northwest Stadium with the DOC taking your phone calls. Austin Eckler expected to be back in the lineup. Brian Robinson, as we just talked about, a game-time decision, but inching towards playing. But the bad news for the Commanders, no Noah Brown and Cleveland Farrell been ruled out for a third consecutive game, and we will see where they go from here. 3-1 Washington Commanders looking to improve to 4-1 against the 1-3 Cleveland Browns. Meanwhile, the Colts, as we mentioned earlier this hour, have announced that Jonathan Taylor is not going to play for them. They don't know the status of Anthony Richardson as of earlier today, as they get set to head on the road against 0-4 Jacksonville, who is obviously desperate for a win. Bill's going to be without several key starters, including Ed Oliver, their best defensive tackle, and as well their leading receiver, Khalil Shakir, for this Sunday's road game in Houston. And from the baseball playoffs, as we mentioned earlier in the show, the Mets beating the Milwaukee Brewers. All four divisional series, all four divisional series start on Saturday afternoon, including the Mets against Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies just up the road at Citizens Bank Park. And that's what's trending. All right, 3:41 on a feel-good football Friday. And occasionally we break away from the football, right? Especially at this time of the year because you check the calendar, it is October the 4th, and that means postseason baseball is more than underway. And starting tomorrow, we get the division series in both the American League and the National League. And that's how we do this. I hope Matt's okay with it.
I didn't really ask.
What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, so on a college football Saturday, right? I mean, listen, baseball is going to have to go against football. It's not the best thing for their ratings, but it is what it is. You just can't work around it completely. Maybe they should have been able to figure out a way to start these series tonight when there is no NFL football and the college football slate isn't great. I know we'll get to that in a sec. But they decide to set it up in advance so that they have logistics in place. They start at 1:08 tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon, with the Detroit Tigers, who just come off the two-game sweep of the Houston Astros, in Cleveland against the Guardians, where they do not talk about the Guardians changing their name, like ever. And because of that, go Guardians. I'm such a jerk. Oh, no, the Guardians are 92-69. Tigers 86-76 overall. The Guardians have been sitting around for almost a week, though, so that is always a factor. We talked and we opened up the show with the New York Mets. Pete Alonso's go-ahead three-run home run. Jesse Winker slamming his helmet down. David Peterson closing it out because Mendoza, the manager, smartly, I think, although it almost came back to bite him in the butt, brought in Edwin Diaz in the seventh inning, their normal closer, to kind of keep it at 2-0. A lot of things went right for the Mets last night. Wasn't easy, wasn't perfect. They're going to need a lot more, starting tomorrow afternoon at 4:08, Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia against the resting and fresh Philadelphia Phillies. Zach Wheeler will be on the mound for the Phils, who won 95 games in this regular season and, of course, were the second-best team in the National League. And, again, should be a raucous atmosphere. Philly minus 185, or whatever that means, according to ESPN. The Mets coming off, again, of an emotional swing. Will they have anything left in the gas tank? Probably not. The Phillies are really good. What you don't want to see as a Nationals fan here is Harper, Schwarber, and Trey Turner just kicking ass and taking names, right? If it's like anybody, like, please let it be, I don't know, Alex Baum. Somebody like that that's not just going to constantly be rubbed in your face. Phillies and the Mets, just after 4 o'clock tomorrow from up in Filthy. Should be, again, an electric atmosphere there, as it will be at Yankee Stadium in New York. For the surging and upstart Kansas City Royals, who swept away those filthy Baltimore Orioles earlier this week. Notice how we haven't heard from the Birdman all week. Notice how we haven't heard that. But don't worry, I've been doing my due diligence. Against the Yankees, Michael Wacha, Gerrit Cole, the pitching matchup, 6:38 tomorrow. Evening for game one of the ALDS. And the nightcap, late night, kind of, 8:38 East time, 5:38 out on the West Coast. The San Diego Padres and Dylan Cease against Mr. Yamamoto. I forgot his first name. Just way too long of a first name to go along with the last name. He's pitching for the Dodgers. The Dodgers are, of course, the favorite at minus 135. So that is a quick little preview of four divisional series that all get underway tomorrow. And then because they all get underway tomorrow, guess what, boys and girls? Well, on Sunday, they're basically giving the American League the day off and only playing the National League so that they go Mets-Phillies 4:08. And then Padres-Dodgers 8:03 against Sunday Night Football. So they're given the 1 o'clock window and the 9:30 window for the London game free. And then giving the National League teams off on Monday and the American League teams swing back and play game two of their series. So those teams going to have to sit around and wait. All right, so that's the baseball story. The college football picture is this. Sometimes you get a good game on a Friday night. This doesn't appear, let me stress, doesn't appear to be one of those nights, but, you know, you never know. Michigan State at 3-2 in Eugene against number 6 Oregon. Again, like you would expect Oregon to blow their doors off, right? Friday night in Eugene should be a raucous atmosphere.
I hope Matt's okay.
Yes, I hope Matt's okay. I hope Matt is okay. With Michigan State keeping it close against Oregon, maybe. I don't know if I would count on that. Before that, 7:30, Houston at 1-4. Good Lord. Against TCU. Go Coach Kella. My guy. The TCU Horned Frogs down in Fort Worth. 7:30 kickoff in that one on ESPN. And the nightcap is Syracuse at number 25 UNLV, who, despite their quarterback being a little baby and quitting on them, still undefeated at 4-0. And they host the Syracuse Orange at 3-1 tonight, 9 o'clock. That's your college football slate. You got a couple of WNBA playoff games. I'm not a WNBA playoff expert. Never will be. I know the ratings have gone from really high with Caitlin Clark down to, you know, what you would pretty much expect. But Minnesota at Connecticut and New York at Vegas as New York looks for the three-game sweep at 9:30. So that's a little cleanup on aisle three action.
Clean up in aisle three.
Indeed, that's how we kind of do things right at this time of the day. Coming up, dum-dum of the day. You know, I was once a broadcaster for this NFL team that we cover, and I was once owned by Dan Snyder. I said some controversial things. I quickly learned if you want to continue to work and if you continue to want to be held in good graces, you probably shouldn't say certain things. This reporter probably should take a little lesson from that. We'll explain next on Dum Dum of the Day to wrap things up here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping up things here on a Feel Good Football Friday. Craig Hoffman coming up next. He'll take you home on this Friday afternoon as we all get set for the Commanders and the Browns. Again, our pregame coverage at 9 a.m. with the Force of Earl. That would be Earl Forsey. And then that loudmouth, Linnell Willingham, the youngest in charge, along with the Denton Day. Get you set 2 hours before the game, so starting at 11. And then during the game as well, in-game live, interactive, phone calls, all sorts of things going on. And then the DOC on your way home out of Northwest Stadium. All right, let's get to it. Sometimes reporters say dumb things.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
So you know every team has their own embedded reporters, right? For the Commanders, it's Zach Selby. Does a good job. But reporters are all different by nature. People are different by nature. So the Patriots team reporter, after the Patriots got whacked by the San Francisco 49ers, again, minus Chris McCaffrey, others, what have you, 30-13 in San Francisco, New England's third straight loss. He, meaning Evan Lazar, said, quote, right now they are teetering on mutiny in that locker room. He said this on the Catch 22 podcast, which has actually hosted on the Patriots official team site. He said, I don't want to be an alarmist or hyperbolic. I don't. But I was in that locker room after the game on Sunday. The defense is mad at the defense. Listen, the defense being mad at the defense is reasonable criticism. He also said the offense is mad at the defense. You have young receivers who are literally throwing tantrums on film. And then it went from there, and they talked about all the different problems with the New England Patriots, who suddenly are very far from the 1-0 team that they were after upsetting the Cincinnati Bengals. But the bottom line is this. Here's what I would say. Your job when you're an embedded team reporter is not to be honest. Your job is to be as positive, as neutral, as plain Jane as you possibly can be. Leave that to the professionals. Leave that to us who don't get a paycheck from the team so that we can say those type of things. Son, you shouldn't be saying that. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. But if you value your job, you shouldn't be saying that.
Congratulations. You're Chris's Dum Dum of the Day.
I mean, it's refreshing. It's honest. I just don't know if you're employed by the Patriots and getting a paycheck from Robert Kraft, if you should be saying that. Now, again, I was employed by Dan Snyder at one point. For 5 years, I said a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have said. Somehow I survived 5 years. But was I a dum-dum at times? You damn Skippy, I was. I was messing with my life. All right, that's going to do it for us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Thanks to Matty Ice. Great job as always. Thanks to Ben Standing for joining us here late in the show, Graham. If you missed all my picks and my top six rankings, I'll have it up for you on Twitter. Go check out the Odyssey app. Go check out theteam980.com. We're back with you at 1 o'clock on Monday afternoon. Hopefully a victory Monday with Jay Gruden. Have yourself a great weekend. Adios.